Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the September 23rd edition of Commodity Week.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The Federal Reserve moves to deploy one of the last tools in its box and makes a statement or two about the economy. And things tank in Chicago and around the planet. We'll discuss that and much more on today's edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading from West Lafayette, Indiana. Our panelists in studio today include Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of West Lafayette, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois. Let's start our discussion with this question. For the week, Federal Chairman Bernanke decided to move about $400 billion from short-term to long-term bonds. He was hoping to hold down long-term mortgage rates, but it had a much bigger impact. What'd you make of the move earlier in the week?
I guess at this particular point in time, the first observation was moving the interest rates or the notes and bonds back and forth is like a spread trade. And in this environment, we need something that's flat price that can really stimulate something. So it was a proactive move on his part. He's trying to keep his balance sheet contained. But the fact of the matter is that this particular tool, as we've told most of our guys, is they picked up a stick when they should have picked up a baseball bat.
That's Bill Gentry. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of West Lafayette, Indiana. Also along with us, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson.
Well, I'd have to say that I thought one of the most significant things that Mr. Bernanke did after he announced the move was when he said that we saw significant risk coming in the U.S. economy. And, you know, in the last Fed meeting, when he said he was going to hold interest rates down through 2013, which would include the election, he basically said to investors, we're not going to pay you money. Get out there. Invest in some more risky ventures, okay? And on top of that, President Obama and Congress, do your job. He said very clearly, it is not the Fed's job to create jobs. When he came out with stating significant risk, I felt that his motivation was to really drive home the fact and get some excitement going within the general population, and therefore put pressure in reverse on President Obama and Congress.
Yeah, the administration really has struggled to get the right solution. It seems like every time they open their mouth, they come up with something that's an action, but it's not a positive action.
I think the big thing was that word significant. The entire world looked at that and said, get me out. The GMO, get me out. We want to be off of all risk. And it pushed everything lower. Usually when you have things go down, gold and silver go up. We had gold down, what, $101 today, silver down $6 after yesterday being sharply lower also. And it just was it had nothing to do with corn or beans. It had all to do with financial markets and worries about recession.
That's Pete Manhart with Bates Commodities.
I think, too, you know, that one big statement that was made, especially by the Dow yesterday, was that there's a lack of confidence in the leadership that we have. And it isn't just here in the U.S. It's across the world. And so when you look at the gold market going down as hard as it did, you're right, Pete. Normally, flight to quality means gold's going to go up if we're worried about recession. But that wasn't the case. And I think it's a reflection of commodity pools pulling money for where they're losing money in other places, hedge funds, index funds. And until we actually see gold stabilize and begin to move higher to reflect concerns perhaps, I think it's going to be probably a continuing somewhat rocky ride. But keep it in perspective. We gained over $200.20 last month on gold. And today at the end, we were down $192.20. So we're still $10 ahead of where we were the month before. So, but just a huge, huge moves, basically.
I think it's just attitude of investors saying, we don't want to have any risk, and that was tantamount to anything, and they just got out of everything. And you look at corn, it hit $7 and, what, a nickel early in the week, and here we close at $6.38. And that was just basically the bigs getting out saying, we don't want any risk.
Yep.
They don't want the risk. Will they be back?
I think they will be back eventually, but we have to prove to them that the world economy isn't going to be totally bad. And we also have a tighter supply now of crops in the world. It was announced wheat lowered, and corn in the U.S. Could be lowered again. So I think eventually it'll happen, but it's going to take a while.
Well, I think, you know, the timing on the whole situation with the announcement was pretty handy because that came in right when the G20 was meeting. And so I think before we're going to see them come back significantly, it's going to take confidence in the leadership and proof, not just words, to say that they're going to try and fix this.
Yeah, and along those lines, you know, the time frame that it takes for this market to, or markets in general, to regain their composure and develop that confidence is going to be very important, because if it lasts more than 3 or 4 weeks, the idea of a deflationary situation is probably going to become more prevalent in people's minds, and that would be a really difficult thing to overcome, especially as we head into the end of the year.
Can you think of another time in recent history or in history in general financially where two words, significant risk, uttered by somebody, managed to push so much money around in a single space? And then, and this I think is more the more important part of the comment and or question, just because that happened, does it mean the money is waiting on the sidelines, or does it really mean, and I think you alluded to this, if it doesn't come back in pretty quickly, that we start to seize up money flow, and that's where the problem really begins.
Yeah, that is. And part of it right now is, as the rhetoric would suggest, that the primary problem right now is Europe, that the United States dealt with this problem through 2008 and the beginning of 2009, and now they need to make some adjustments. Trichet had basically been raising interest rates in 2009, and our Fed had been saying, you're going the wrong way, you're going the wrong way. Now they have to basically back up, make the correct decisions, and also find some way to stimulate the confidence.
We already have people just holding cash, not doing anything with it. That's one reason prices on ground are so much higher is what do you do with your money? When a bank pays you 0.1% and you have money and you're afraid of the stock market, that's one of the things that's helped push ground prices higher was that cash waiting. But banks have cash all over the place sitting there afraid to use it.
Well, and not only afraid to use it, Pete, is they get paid 0.75% right now on every dollar in cash reserve that they've got. So there's no real push. I felt that the next step that the Fed would probably take is to lower that particular interest rate to try and force money back out. They normally pay them on the reserves to control inflation, but that doesn't look like that's the issue at this point in time. In fact, a little inflation wouldn't be the worst thing. And so, but you know, we have to keep everything in perspective. There was about $260 billion invested in commodities. Only $16 billion of that is in agriculture. The rest is in metals. The rest is in energies. And so, until we can see the numbers as to how much has really moved out, you know, it's easy to get overwhelmed by what's been going on.
Let's take a look at the numbers, in fact, and see what we can find in them for the week. December corn, a high this week at $7.04.5. A low on the trade. Remember, we give you the day trade, the overnight trade. Open outcry and electronic, low at $6.38 for December corn. The harvest month settled $6.38.5, down 53.5 cents. December of next year at $5.78.5, down 47.5 cents. I looked at that number, and I actually thought just by the feel of the week that it wasn't as bad as I suspected it might be.
Well, the week in general was fairly negative, but looking at the wheat market trying to regain its composure, we actually saw a real subtle hint of this yesterday when the wheat market was not down as much as the corn. And then today, or even last night, wheat really expressed itself with some stability. And also keep in mind that the wheat coming off the Black Sea, they were expecting it to hold in there about 260, and most of the trade this week has been like 261 to 263 a ton. And the other world markets within that region are actually probably $5 to $10 above that.
So just to follow up, we're talking about the corn market, but you're suggesting that wheat's going to hold the marketplace higher?
It's given you some positive indications of what the corn's probably got in its hip pocket.
That's right. And I think, you know, wheat is being supported by some of the drought situations that are going on. You know, we've got some things going on in Argentina. And when you look at corn, you're right. It felt really bad. This week felt really bad in so many ways. And yet, 640, which I was disappointed, they settled us below 640, even though we ended the day at 641.5. That 640 level, you know, that was the 40-week moving average, the 10-month moving average, the 200-day moving average for December corn. So now we're going to have to see once whether we can get back above that. And if we don't, to do some of my old school, I would say 630 is a really strong spot, and then 621, the 50-week moving average, another really strong spot. So,
yeah, the wheat going back to that southern hemisphere, Argentina, and also then Australia, the crop is worse than expected. And then in the northern hemisphere, where we're going to plant wheat, it's very dry in Europe. It's very dry in Russia. It's very dry in the Ukraine. It's very dry here. So they're worried about next year's crop, too. And wheat's been one of the things that's been in excess that now we've lowered the world supply, and that could help hold corn up and even lead it out of the depths.
And we're feeding some wheat in place of corn. But I think what's the most interesting is that we actually had China buy corn yesterday on export sales. Did you hear much about it? It was just buried in the macroeconomic quagmire that we had. So that, I think, itself will come forward. And they are limited to 7.2 million metric tons of imports per year. But I saw a thing from the China consul today that said it is extremely doubtful that they will be able to even meet their needs for this coming year.
So yeah, and reaching into that, the Ukrainian and Russian situation, one of the comments we heard this morning is it's as dry over there as it's been in 10 to 15 years. Considering they just came off a drought 2 or 3 years ago, that's a pretty subtle statement in and of itself. Yeah. And in addition to that, you know, the corn-wheat spread or the wheat-corn spread, we've probably had wheat below corn for the longest time in history, and now it's probably time for wheat to be recognized as a human feed rather than an animal feed.
And China also bought a lot of soybeans this week.
Sure did.
A lot.
Speaking of wheat, December contract settled at $6.40¾. It was down 47.5 for the week. July at $6.91¼, your harvest month, down 56¾. November beans this week, a high of $13.57½, a low of $12.50. $14 seems a long ways away now. And November settled at $12.58, and it was down 97.5 cents. November of next year at $12.53¼, down 88¾. That seems like a long ways from that 1250 range to the 1420, 25 top, something along those lines.
Do you remember, though, earlier in the year we went over 14 twice, went back under 13 within 10 days, and then we finally stayed above it, went to 1465. We're over $2 below that price, but we went down to 1281, 1280 area twice after being over 14 while we're on the up move, so... I still think we have good usage for beans, mainly due to China.
I think one of the things that's happened on beans is we've gotten a lot of competition out of South America right now because the Brazilian real has been down against the U.S. dollar, and it's significant to see that China's come in and bought some beans. On top of that, when you look at November at 12.52, is a 38% retracement from the June 2010 move on beans. So it's a significant spot, and 10% of that is $1.25. What's a 10% move in the market at this point in time? Not very much.
Yeah, and one of the significant things this week, Brazil was able to export beans at basically contract high prices for the year on the real. And now they are probably basically reaching the end of their exporting window, and we come into October, October, November, and December. The U.S. typically picks up that responsibility, and I think that this week's exports to China is indicative of that.
Some of the rest of the numbers from Chicago at the CME Group, live cattle this week. A settlement price for the October contract at $116.82.5, down $1.67.5. September feeders at $132.10, were down $3.20. And lean hogs for the day at $88.80, were up $1.45 on Friday afternoon. USDA released the latest cattle on feed numbers, and they came in pretty much where the trade expected they were going to be, didn't they, Jackie?
Yeah, they certainly did. We came in at 105% on feed, which was right where they thought. 99 placed versus a 98% expectation and 107 marketed. Those are really aggressive marketing numbers in the cattle market.
You, of course, are listening to Commodity Week. When we return, we'll come back and talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, and we'll take up more about the marketplace. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, everything in between. And this program posted to our website by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening. If you want to pick us up off the smartphone, you can do that too, at m.willag.org. Back in just 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Cool autumn weather persisted this week across Illinois, along with some welcome rain in central and southern Illinois early in the week. Temperatures this week across the state were 1 to 2 degrees below normal. Colder air moved in the first part of the week, but then modified some by Wednesday. By Friday, an upper-level low had become cut off over the Great Lakes, keeping cool air entrenched. Rain was heaviest in southern and southeastern Illinois this week, where up to 2 inches of rain resulted from the system moving through the southern Midwest. Rainfall amounts through central Illinois, where drought is well in place, ranged from 1/4 to 1/2 inch, but there was more than an inch of rain reported in Peoria and Tazewell counties. The upper level low pressure center, currently spinning over the Midwest, will continue to influence our weather through at least Tuesday of next week, finally getting kicked northeast as another upper-level wave approaches. The presence of the low means cool, cloudy, and at times showery weather Monday and Tuesday. Another cold front will sweep through on Wednesday, bringing in drier air to Illinois and making for a nice conclusion to the week. High pressure will result in sunshine and moderating temperatures next Thursday through Saturday. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the September 23rd edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. He is in Chicago, rather in Lafayette, Indiana, and in studio with us, Bill Gentry, Pete Manhart, and Jackie Fanks. Jim, thanks so much for being with us today. We depend on you, and so do your clients, to have a much broader view of the marketplace. This would have been a good week to have that view. What'd you think?
Well, I thought the comments made by the panel tonight were really good. I think they pointed out the big picture aspect of this market. I was talking to one of my more experienced clients in the Delta this morning, and he was telling me, boy, he has many, many years of experience. He said, this market is really tough to analyze. It certainly is no longer the supply-demand equation that all of the old-timers have used. You've got a situation where this market is impacted by global news that come from all directions and can really have a huge impact on the market. at 5 o'clock this morning, I was getting up to write the Markland, and I sat down to write it, and I looked at the grain prices. But before I started out, I looked at what I had to cover. I had to look at Argentine weather, Brazilian weather. I had to have a section in there on the G20, China, U.S. and Europe, possible recession, the twist, France, and I did all that before I even started writing the market letter. So this is not an easy market. One of the things that I think I want to point out is when I first looked at the results or the statement on Operation Twist, I was almost infuriated by it. It was like the Fed telling me and my customers and the world that, okay, we're going to keep rates low for a long period of time and things are really, really bad out there, but really, I would like for you to go out and buy a new combine this week. And it just didn't match to me. And it bothered me all day long today. You know, what is he trying to do? I'm talking about Mr. Bernanke. And maybe, what does he know that I don't know, looking at the results of what's happened here the past couple of weeks? And I was infuriated pretty much right after the statement. But I stepped back today and tonight before this program, I looked at where the Dow closed. And the Dow closed up today. And granted, it's had a huge, huge sell-off, but it was up today. And I thought, you know, what is going on here? And I just stepped back and I thought a little bit about it. Maybe this is the Fed's way of saying, you know, commodity prices are too high. Let's bring them down. And they started with the metals, and they've gotten that pretty much accomplished. They've started with energy. You've got crude oil now back below $80 a barrel. You've crunched the grain prices and the feed prices, and you've brought the CRB down dramatically in a short period of time, which, in a certain sense, maybe that's not all bad to the global economies where the usage factor needs to start picking up. So maybe this is the way of the Fed's, I guess it would be an indirect way of bringing down inflation and stimulating the economy the other way by taking less high prices off that consumer. So I don't know whether I'm right or I'm wrong, but I thought it was a very interesting day the way the Dow closed, even with everything else taking a real hard beating.
Well, taking a different approach, one of the things that we talked about in the office was a lot of times when you've got multiple markets moving like they did this week, usually there's a pent-up move, and we can just say that Bernanke's comments was the catalyst to facilitate that. When you look at the broader picture, would this break have happened if he wouldn't have opened his mouth?
Well, I think there's a certain element of a combination of both. I don't know, again, was his statement deliberate? And did he know something that we didn't? Had that been thought out ahead of time? I'm not sure. I'm not sure he was. Maybe he was surprised by the way the market acted. Some people think so. Some people don't. But when you step back and look at this, remember now, this has been a highly speculated market. We've seen tremendous amount of fund activity. You know, you turn the TV on, everybody was promoting, you know, energy stocks and buy gold. You can't lose. It's going to go to $4,000 an ounce. You know, silver's got to go to at least $100 an ounce. You know, I kind of step back and think of that. All those times that I've heard that kind of mentality, all these years that I've been trading, whenever you get that hype and that media hype, it's usually a good time to become pretty cautious. And I think the market had been flashing some warning signs all along, especially the last couple of weeks, that hype was getting a little bit extended. My biggest concern right now is, and I think there is a valid element here, is that I'm worried that the Europeans and the EU and the United States may be going into a recession. Not that they're going into recession, but they're going in it together. And the effect of that could be pretty severe if we don't get it rebalanced. Remember, the function of the market is to discipline government, and the markets always move much faster than democracies. So this market is trying to tell us and tell the rest of the world financial leadership, whether it's the G20 or it's the U.S. Federal Reserve, listen, there are elements that you need to kind of keep in balance here, restructure, do some right things, because if you don't, again, the function of the market is to discipline government, and we'll keep punishing you until that happens, but hopefully that won't.
You know, I'd like to know what your take is, Jim. When I look at the, you know, Greece is who we constantly hear about. You know, it's just a common thread in everything that goes on. And yet the GDP in Greece is one-sixth of what it is in California. You know, is it the news media pushing this hype?
I was just thinking about the same thing. I think the Greece thing, and I may be wrong on this, but I think that's already dialed in. I think a default is already dialed in. I think where the market's becoming a little bit more concerned, and the Internet's filled with stories about it, I think we've got to watch the situation in France. France popped up on the radar screen early this morning, which I hadn't seen for a while. And there's more chatter that the French banks are relatively heavily exposed, not only in Greece, which I think they can work through that, but also Italy and Spain. And so consequently, that's why this upcoming meeting in November of the G20 gives the world, essentially, to me, about 6 weeks to figure this thing out. I think there is a little time here. But if we come out of that G20 meeting in November and this economy, from a global standpoint, continues to slide, we may be heading into a tougher situation than we really want or can need. So I guess we take a little bit of defensive posture here. This is not my first rodeo. I've seen soybeans sell off $5 in a month before. I know what that's all about when a liquidating market hits. I think we got to be careful here.
Everybody talks about Europe. How about the U.S.? Illinois is bankrupt. California's bankrupt, which is six times bigger than Greece. Our federal government's bankrupt. We don't have any money for what we're supposed to be paying. Why isn't the U.S. doing something to correct ourselves instead of doing these bond things, which to me hasn't really helped anything?
Well, I guess that's kind of what my feeling too. I think you're accurate on all fronts there, and I wish I totally knew the answer to that, but I do think the U.S. is probably a little bit better off in its whole than the European situation. I think that when they let the euro go clear up into the 146, 147 area, and the dollar, you know, is floating around that 74, 73 and a half mark, I think they let that get out of balance, and it was totally unrealistic. There was far too many problems, and the Eurozone certainly needed the export market much more than letting it go to that 146, 147 mark. So they made the mistake. To me, there's absolutely no question their financial leadership made a huge mistake in letting that happen. They were almost cocky about it. So now the market's going to punish them for that. They're probably going to need to bring the euro down. And when that happens, the dollar goes up. And, of course, when the dollar goes up, and I don't see much resistance on overhead until about 81. And if it clears that, then it doesn't look to me like there's much until about 83 and a quarter. So there is still room for the dollar to move up and the euro down. But in answer to your question, absolutely, the United States does need leadership. And I was as surprised as anybody else by that statement. And as you alluded to, that bond situation, what is that all about? I mean, I would have personally never, ever said that. But maybe he's a lot smarter than I am, and he knows what I alluded to earlier. Maybe this is the Fed's way of bringing prices to everyone down, particularly energy and food, where there's been some complaint about the level of price. Maybe this is their way of stimulating usage and helping support the economy from the demand side.
Can I get a very, very short, because we're at the end of time, your best advice for corn and soybean marketing?
Number one thing, if they're buying input costs for this fall and winter for next year's crop, don't even think about not having something sold to protect those input costs. That's where everybody got in trouble in 2008, 2009. We don't need a repeat of that.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Okay, have a great evening.
You too. Jim Bauer is with Bauer Trading. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities.
I guess at this particular point in time, that's the message we've been sending out, is protect your input costs. But I would say we're going to be probably reluctant hedgers at these particular price levels. Let's see what kind of a bounce develops for additional sales.
Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson.
On a happier note, go Illini and go Green Bay.
And Pete Manhart.
We have to get through this financial mess. I think we will bounce out of it, but those old highs might not happen for a while now.
Our thanks to Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and, of course, to Jim Bauer. That is this 23rd day of September edition of Commodity Week. You can visit us online if you'd like at willag.org or m.willag.org on your smartphone. Have a good week. Be safe. And I'll tell you this one thing. If you're working many hours, take a nap in the afternoon. You'll be safer. Have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.